Welcome to the Christian Faith Center podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. Here's a message from one of our pastors.
Thank God that we have benefits of that relationship, things that are part of it, like baptism. Baptism is a part of that relationship that we have with Christ. It's an outward showing of the inward change. That's what it is. We know baptism does not save us. Baptism, the act of being baptized, does not save us. Only Christ can save us, but still Christ does this. And in Matthew chapter 3, let's look at verse 13 to start here. Why do we baptize? Why do we get baptized? Well, let's read and then we'll talk about this. Matthew 3, verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me.' Jesus replies, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Powerful. Some key points. Jesus says what? It's proper to do this. It's necessary. It's something that we should do. Did Jesus have to be baptized? No, he was the Son of God in the flesh. And yet, he says this to John, who's baptizing him. He says, this is proper. We have to do this. The second point, we see the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, right? Descending like a dove. In all the movies, it's an actual dove. It wasn't a bird. It was a spirit descending like a dove. This heavenly spirit descending on Christ, right? This is the Spirit descending on him. Now, what happens? When do you and I receive the Holy Spirit? We receive the Holy Spirit when we give our heart to Christ. That moment that you say yes to him, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. But here in this act, we see the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. And then, this is the best part, then we look and we see and we read the scripture that we hear the audible voice of God saying, "This is my Son that I love. With him I am well pleased." In this one moment in scripture, we see the Trinity. We see all three persons of God at one moment. We see God the Father speaking to God the Son with the Holy Spirit descending upon him. It is beautiful. It's miraculous. It's something that we have to stop back and take note of, that this is an amazing moment in scripture where Jesus is deciding to willingly submit to John to baptize him. See, John's saying, "Hey, listen, you all need to be baptized. We're all sinners. We're lost. You need to be baptized. There's one that's going to come before me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to touch. But right now, we need to baptize. We need to ask for repentance from our sins." And Jesus is saying, "Yes, I need that too." Because he was the one that was going to take all of our sins on that cross. He's confirming the message that John was preaching all of that time. So three important things about this. What does baptism show? It shows when you go under the water that you died with Christ, that your old man has died. Your old spirit man is dead. It is no longer in control. It does no longer have any part of you. And then while you are under the water, it shows that you were buried with Christ, that no one can see you. When Christ was buried in that tomb, no one saw him. See, when we go down in the water, when we choose to be baptized, we're saying, "I'm dying with Christ." When you're under the water, no one sees you. No one sees your old man anymore. And when you come out of the water, it's now we're saying, "Now I'm new. Now I'm fresh. Now I'm full of the Spirit of God. Now I walk in this newness of life that before Christ I could never have." You're raised to life with Christ. You're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now you're spiritually alive. It's a public profession saying, "I have a fresh start from Jesus." Let's pray before we go any further. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us this morning, to impart revelation in the scriptures that we're studying today, to reveal new truths to us, to help guide, instruct, and correct us so that we can fulfill the plan that you have for us, Lord, so that we can do what you've called us to do today and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you turn to Acts chapter 9, please? Acts chapter 9. God is a God of fresh starts. And the great thing is, those fresh starts that God gives us come with new opportunities. The fresh starts that God gives us come with new opportunities. Now, after Christ has been baptized, then he starts his 3.5-year earthly ministry. See, before this, there are no recorded miracles that Christ has done before his baptism. See, when we get that fresh start from God, it's like a new chapter with new opportunities, new beginnings. It's that 3.5-year period where he's professing that I am the Son of God, I am the living water, I am the atoning sacrifice, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. That was a new chapter in Jesus' earthly ministry, because after that baptism, that's the message he was sharing. Only one instance before he's baptized do we read about him professing who his Father is. It's when he's a little child and he's in the temple, and Mary and Joseph, they're leaving the temple and they forget Jesus. They're with their family, and how many of you know when you're on vacation, it's easy to leave a child behind? Be honest, right? Okay? Not purposefully, accidentally. So they leave and they find Jesus. They were like, where's Jesus? They go back. He's in the temple and he's saying, don't you know I'm doing my Father's business? As a child, he knew who he was. But as an adult, he realized he had to fulfill the planned mission and purpose that God had instilled in him. And after his baptism, this new chapter begins where now he's healing. He's raising the dead. He's opening blind eyes. He's opening up deaf ears. He's casting out demons. He's ministering to multitudes. Because why? When the fresh start comes, so does the new opportunity. For that moment that we choose baptism, we're deciding to start our next chapter. We're deciding to say, you know what, I'm identifying with Christ. I'm identifying with him, and I'm realizing that he is identified with me in the person of Jesus Christ. And you know, baptism for Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the beginning of a new opportunity for him as well. You know, before Acts chapter 9, before we read verse 17, right, this is the point where Paul has had his encounter with Christ. He's on the road, he's met with Jesus, he's blinded, and then he's just going. And then Jesus meets Ananias, and he says, Ananias, you have to go find Saul. He's like, Saul? He's like, yeah, Saul, right, the one that's attacking you, right, the one that's hunting you guys down. He's going after you guys. I want you to go find him and pray for him. So Ananias, the bold man of God that he is, does just that. And so now if we look at verse 17 in Acts chapter 9, says this, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was what? Baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now let's keep reading. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. So just pause for just a moment. In context, the very thing that Saul was attacking is what he became. He was attacking Christians, and now he is a Christian. He becomes baptized, this fresh start that God has. And then what does he do? He spends time with the disciples. He spends time with the disciples. So before we get that fresh start, that new opportunity, sometimes we have to spend time with the people of God. We have to spend time with the people of God. We have to spend time growing in the Word, growing in the truth in God's Word, because there's truth in God's Word. Amen? Wednesday night, I'm going to be doing a message about being rooted in truth, okay? Because we need to be rooted in truth. Amen? In a world that has no concept of what real truth is, we as Christians need to be rooted in truth. So what does Paul do? He gets baptized, and then he spends time with the disciples, getting rooted in truth. Look what happens here, verse 20. Acts 9, verse 20. Then at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. See, Paul's fresh start provided him with new opportunities. Now he has the background, he has the knowledge, he has the training. Now he has the revelation of the fresh start, and now he has all of these great new opportunities. He was designed in such a way that he was a Roman and he was a Greek and he was a Jew, that he could fit into many other social circles and fit in just fine. He even says, I've become all things to all people. What does that mean? He was qualified to minister to many different kinds of people. And now, because he has this fresh start, he has new opportunities. Now he's preaching about Jesus. Now he's preaching about the revelation that he has of who Christ is. He became the very thing that he was looking to lock up. And now what do the people do? They bring up his past. Right? The new opportunity that he has, what's everyone doing? Reminding him or trying to remind him of his past. Don't be surprised that after you get your fresh start, people try to remind you of your past. Because it's going to happen. And that's the hardest part about being a Christian. You get revelation of something in God's word that changes you from the inside outwardly. You get the revelation. You know what it is, but it's hard for other people to see that, right? Because why? Now it's new revelation to you. Now Paul has this revelation of who Jesus is. And they'll go, wait, weren't you the one that was trying to lock up those that were proclaiming Jesus? Weren't you the one you realized that you shouldn't be lying? Wait, weren't you the one that used to tell all those lies? Yeah, but that's not me anymore. But weren't you the person that used to blah, blah, blah? Weren't you the person that used to blah, blah, blah? Because why? Because when a new opportunity comes, right, when we get that fresh start, when we get that new opportunity, don't be surprised when people start to try bringing up your past. Don't be surprised. Our job, though, is to not listen to when they bring up our past. Because what? We are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Even if they don't think the old has passed away, you have to be so rooted and confident in God's word that you are unshakable, that you are new in him. You're a Christian now? But what about everything you used to do? What about the lifestyle you used to have? What about the friends that you used to have? And this is the hardest question, right? You're not going to be friends with us anymore? Uh-oh is right, right? That's tough, isn't it? And listen, here's what we have to remember, okay? There's a couple things in Scripture that I want us to go through and listen to this. This is what the Word says. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away. The old is behold, everything has become new. The new has come. Isaiah 43 says this, remember not the former things, no, consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. See, our job as Christians is not to hold on to the old things, not hold on to the former things, but realize that God wants to do and is doing a new thing in us. Ephesians 4 says to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. See, our job as Christians is to forget about the old and focus on the new. The new life that Christ has provided for us. The new lifestyle, the fresh start, the new opportunities. And when people try to bring up your past, ignore them, reject it, and focus on the new that God has for you. Behold, all things. Man, that's a powerful verse, isn't it? Powerful verse. We can't let the past hold us back. Listen, if the past held people back, ready for this? Being called too stupid to learn anything would have stopped Edison from creating the light bulb. If the past held him back, if the past held us back, the 5,126 failed prototypes would have stopped Dyson from making his vacuum. 5,000. If the past held people back, being told you lack imagination and have no good ideas would have stopped Disney in his tracks. If the past held us back, failed businesses, failed political runs would have stopped Abraham Lincoln from becoming president. If the past held you back, 27 book rejections would have stopped Dr. Seuss. Listen, don't let the past hold you back from the fresh start that God has given you. Don't let the past hold you back. Listen, you're going to get a new opportunity presented to you. Some of you might get it today. Some of you might get it this week. Listen, when we are expecting the new opportunity, right, don't be surprised when people try to bring up your past. Remember that you have a God that has a new plan for you. When you give your heart to him, when you say, Lord, I need a fresh start, he's giving you that fresh start. You just got to walk in it. Forget about the haters. Forget about the ones trying to bring up your past. And just focus on the one that has your steps ordered. You got to step here. Step there. Watch what happens. Right? That's the most amazing thing. God has our steps ordered. He knows where we need to walk. And even if we don't walk over there, he knows how to get us right back onto where we need to walk to fulfill the plan that God has for us. That's powerful, isn't it? He knows exactly where you need to go. He's got it all lined up for you. And even if you step off course, he's going to go, well, this is what you got to do just to get back on course. Because he's a God of fresh starts. He's a God of new opportunities. And when we focus on that, We're going to keep going. Amen? Turn to Luke chapter 4. You know, something that we read about in all four Gospels is the baptism of Christ. And again, turn to Luke 4, please. All four Gospels account the baptism of Jesus. And they all mention the wilderness that he goes into afterwards. They all mention the wilderness that he goes into afterwards. And see, sometimes next chapters come with a wilderness. Sometimes that next chapter, that next phase, that new thing, it might come with the wilderness. The word wilderness is used in Matthew 3. It's the Greek word eremos, which means something that's solitary, something lonely, something uninhabited, something that can be used to describe a desert or a wilderness or a lonely place or a place that is not fit for pasture for animals. That's what that word wilderness means. You might feel even right now that you're in a wilderness, but don't fear the wilderness, amen? You might be in a wilderness, you might feel like those words, solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited, a desert, an uninhabited, you might feel like that's describing you right now, but don't fear the wilderness. Because in certain translations, in certain gospels, it says that after Jesus was baptized, immediately he was driven into the wilderness. Don't fear the wilderness. Don't fear that solitary place. Don't fear that lonely place. Don't fear that desolate place. Because sometimes, ready? The greatest miracles we experience are in those places. The greatest miracles that sometimes you and I will receive from the Lord are in those places. Now, we know God does not send us into a bad situation. Sometimes we're just in rough situations. But sometimes in those desolate places, God can do the biggest miracle that we will ever see. It says in Mark 1:12, at once the Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness. At once, it was immediate. He was there for 40 days being tempted by Satan. And look at verse 1 here. Let's read this a little bit. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. How many of you feel like the devil always attacks you when you're hungry, right? Right? I'm so hungry. I could hurt something, right? It's not always the devil. It's just that you're hungry. All right, but anyway, quick question, right? When Jesus is baptized, right, the Holy Spirit descends, what does God say to Jesus? This is my beloved Son, right, in whom I'm well pleased, right? This is who? My beloved Son. So what is the first thing the devil go after for Jesus? Let's read. Look at verse 2. 40 days, right, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Verse 3, the devil said, if you are the Son of God. What is the first thing the devil goes after for Jesus? His identity. His identity. In the wilderness, the first thing, and actually every temptation the devil tries to draw Jesus in, it tries to make Jesus question his identity. Because God publicly is professing, this is my Son. What does God do to us when we give our heart to him? He says, this is my Son. This is my daughter. And what does the devil try to do the rest of your life? Make you question your identity in Christ. Everything is meant to make you try to question your identity in Christ. And you look at how the world is shaping up now, and we know that he is the prince of this world, but not for long, amen? And what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to look at every way to make us question our identities on earth. Make you question your political identity, your racial identity, your gender identity. Your role in a family. He's trying to make you question that. And what's God saying? What is Jesus saying here? He's defending his identity in Christ, in God. He's defending it. And our job in the wilderness, if we're there, is to defend our identity in Christ. Look at this. Verse 4. Jesus answers, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Devil says, listen, if if you're the Son of God. Did God really say you can't eat the fruit? Did God really say you can't touch the fruit? If, question, doubt, right? What does the devil use? The same dumb trick, repackaged differently. Doubt, unbelief, questioning our identity. That's what he uses. And the amazing thing is every time the devil tempts Jesus, he's tempting him with something temporal, something temporary. And every time that Jesus responds to him, Jesus is focusing on the eternal. Because our job as Christians is not to focus on the temporary. Our job as Christians is to focus on the eternal. Food, earthly authority, Jesus' physical well-being, those are all temporary things the devil is attacking. And Jesus is saying it's not bread alone. It's about worshiping and serving God only. We're not testing God. Let's look and let's read this. Verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, verse 6. He said to him, I will give you all authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down here, for it is written. The devil tries to use the same tool that Jesus is using against him. He goes, well, it's written. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands and so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. That's true, but Jesus answers with truth. He says, it's said, you don't put the Lord your God to the test. See, listen, when you're in that point there, it goes on to say that the devil leaves him and the angels immediately tend him, right? See, when you get that fresh start from God, that dialogue happens, remember the eternal, okay? When you get that fresh start, when you feel like you're in the wilderness, remember the eternal. Remember that it's not just food. Food is great. Food is awesome. Food is delicious. Food is fantastic, right? How many of you like food like I do, right? Great. Yeah, food is phenomenal. But in the realm of eternity, food means nothing, right? Your physical well-being, your physical body is going to be here for X amount of years. And then you're going to have a new, eternal being with Christ. So what does this matter for in the long run? Not much, right? We understand that as Christians, we focus on the eternal, not just the temporal. Hey, listen, we live here, we experience here, we feel hurt here. I get that. But our job is not just to focus on this physical, it's to focus on the eternal. Amen? When you're in that lonely place, that wilderness, that solitary place, right? How do we overcome those places with the Word? We overcome them with the Word. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God, and he was God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot and has not overcome it. Remember this. You and I, we have life that darkness cannot overcome. You and I, we have life that darkness cannot overcome. So even if you're in the wilderness, you feel like you're in that solitary, desolate, lonely, uninhabitable place, remember that you have life that darkness cannot overcome. That even if the devil's chirping in your ear, trying to make you doubt your identity, or even if someone else is trying to bring up your past, what do? You focus on the future. You focus on the promises that God has for you. Because why? He's a God of fresh starts. Amen? How does Jesus respond to every temptation? It is written. It is written. It's said. It is written. It is written. It's said. How do we respond to those very same temptations? It is written. It is written. It is written. Why is it so important to know Scripture? Why do athletes train regularly? Because when a situation occurs, right? They don't have to think about proper mechanics to hit like a tennis ball or something. When it comes, they know here's a backhand. They know the perfect form to do it, right? Why? Because that's what the repetition does. Athletes know this. God knows this because that's how God designed us. See, when we are repetitive in our studies, when we're repetitive in reading Scripture, when we're repetitive in renewing and renewing and renewing, when it comes, we know the backhand perfectly. when you renew and renew and renew, when you're in the Word, when you're studying, when you're focused on the eternal, not the temporal, when something happens, you can respond appropriately, right? It's a proper reaction versus an improper reaction. Those that know self-defense, why? They do the same move over and over and over again. Because as soon as someone tries to throw that punch, right, they don't know how to, okay, well, I have to shift my hips and I have to look. They just know to do it to get the fist out of the way, right? It's a physical reaction. God wants us to have proper spiritual reactions. Do the same, the repetition over and over again. Because when we're in the wilderness, what are we going to say? It's written. You look around, you're like, oh, I'm in a wilderness. Well, it's written. It's written. Then what do? Then you overcome the wilderness. Amen? Then you start your ministry. Jesus went through the wilderness for 40 days. Some translations say he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And then we only read about 3 temptations, right? Could you imagine being tempted for 40 days, right? Jesus did it. He overcame it. So why? You and I, if we're tempted by it, we can overcome it. Amen? I don't want to miss a meal. You get 40 days and not eating? What are you? He did it, though. And because he did it, we can do it. Amen? Because he was baptized, we choose to be baptized. Amen? Because he can lay hands on the sick, he says, what, greater works will you do? You and I can do greater works. Amen? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. See, when you overcome the wilderness, you come out stronger. Amen? When you overcome the wilderness, you come out stronger. You come out more sure of who you are in Christ when you come out through the wilderness. When you come out and you overcome the wilderness, you become more sure of who God is and you become more confident in his promises when you overcome the wilderness. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When you overcome. Because, ready? The fresh starts never end with God. The fresh starts never end with God. Never. They never end. You know, we can't ever forget that we serve a God of never-ending possibilities. He is infinitely more knowledgeable, wise, and powerful than we can even fathom. And so we can't forget that we serve a God of never-ending possibilities. That even if we feel like we've missed our fresh start, well, Nick, you know what? There was a time in my life where I could have hit that, I could have started that new chapter, I could have done that new job, but I missed it. No, God's a God of never-ending fresh starts. Well, you know what? Maybe I won't get that same position. No, you maybe might not get that same position again, but you might get a better position now because you're focused on God. Jesus says in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. All of these things he was referring to were basic necessities, housing, clothing, food. See, when we're focused on Christ, all of these things that we need, we'll get. So don't feel like, well, I missed my fresh start. No, he is a God of never-ending fresh starts. The fresh starts never end with God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a great verse. It says, and God is able, say God is able. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. This is from the King James. Okay, so Dad, you're happy I'm reading King James now, right? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able. Say God is able one more time. God is able. I'm glad you didn't say one more time. Right? No, but God is able, which means he is strong, he's mighty, and he's powerful. Don't ever forget that your God, the God that you serve, the God that loves you, is strong, mighty, and powerful. He's strong, mighty, and powerful to do what? To make grace. The Amplified says every favor and earthly blessing. The grace, the unmerited favor of God. He is able to make that abound in your life. The word abound means to exceed a fixed number of measure. So whatever number you can think of the amount of grace that God wants to pour out in your life, it's going to be better than that number. It's going to overflow. It's going to be in abundance. So every time you need that fresh start, God's going to give you that fresh start because of his grace that's going to abound. Because what God is able to make that grace abound in your life. You and I, we can't. We are not able to do that. But God is able. God is not only able to give you a fresh start, but he's able to give it to you again and again and again. And again, and some of us are testimonies of that. We're testimonies of the goodness of God again and again and again and again. And ready? Are you sitting down for this? You won't lack what you need to be successful in the fresh start. That's how good God is. He's going to be able to give you a fresh start time and time again, and you're going to have what you need to be successful in the fresh start. Because what? That's the grace and goodness of God. He gives you what you need to be successful. He's given you inside of you, some of us already have those things to be successful, those talents, those skills, those abilities, that desire, that passion, that knowledge, that know-how. You have certain things, and whatever we are lacking, God can supernaturally provide so that we are successful in the fresh start. God is able to make his favor exceed your situation. I'll say that again. God is able to make his favor exceed your situation. How good is God? How good is God? Whatever situation you're in, whatever fresh start you need, God can provide it for you. Listen to this. As we close the message this morning, the message, at the beginning, I said some stats about my generation, right? My generation, 59% of us live somewhere besides their hometown. Almost 80 have moved once, not counting a college move. 41% of millennials say their move is temporary. They're not going to stay there wherever they move to. Almost a quarter say that their primary motive is a fresh start, a change in lifestyle. Now, journalist Reinsford Staffer examines this wanderlust and writes, "Comfort means you've played it safe, and putting down roots means you've missed the adventure of finding yourself. This is an adventure that can only be played out by ping-ponging from city to backpacking trip and back again." She describes her personal experiences. Each new move and new beginning meant new people, new jobs, new situations, which had to be started from scratch each time. It was supposed to feel like freedom. Instead, all this newness all the time felt eerily like being lost. Newness was supposed to make life exciting, not empty. See, constant newness separate from Christ will leave you empty. Just hitting reset every single time without Christ will leave you empty. Newness, because of Christ, will never leave you empty. Trust in him. That's the thing. We got to trust in God, don't we? Trust in God. Trust that he is the God of the fresh start and that the new work that he wants to do in you, he is going to make sure he sees it through completion in us. We just got to trust in him. We got to trust in the God of the fresh start, don't we? Let's close in prayer this morning. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for everyone that's here today. Lord, everyone that's hearing this message, Father. Lord, that everyone hearing this realizes that you are the God of the fresh start. You are the God of new beginnings. You are the God of new chapters. And Lord, that your grace will help us move in that right direction, Lord. Father, I pray that even if we feel like we're in the wilderness, Lord, that when we overcome the wilderness, we'll be more sure of who you are and who we are in you, Father. That you have equipped us to be successful in every new opportunity that you've given to us. In every fresh start, Lord, you have made us to be overcomers in this life. So, Father, we pray for all this. We pray, Lord, that we can retain the truth that's in your word that we heard this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we keep praying, if you've never made that commitment to follow Christ, today's your day. If you've never made the commitment to follow Christ, today is the day where you can say yes to him, where you can get a fresh start, and you can get a fresh start that's going to last, that you're not going to want to reset the fresh start. The fresh start that Christ will provide is going to be eternal. You're going to walk in newness. You're going to live in newness. You're going to realize that you are a new creation. And all you have to do is accept the free gift of salvation that Christ provided for you. So today, if you're ready to do that, if you're ready to make that commitment, we're going to say a prayer. I encourage you to say it with us. Everyone say, "Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior." Say, "I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you are alive from the dead. Lord, live in me. Lord, work in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like more information about the church or would like to support our ministry, head over to ChristianFaithCTR.com. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app.